Well, on Christmas morning, I told you all that the only reason we tell these stories, the only reason we have any good news at all, the way the gospel started was just with three words: He is risen. The whole reason we do all of this, Eucharist and Palm Sunday and Christmas pageants and Easter, is because of that good news. He is risen. No one would care about Jesus of Nazareth at all if he hadn't risen from the dead. But the question that stands before us today is, why does that matter? Why is it good news that he is risen? What does the resurrection mean to us in our world today? And as I thought about that, I thought about some of the claims we make about Jesus' resurrection. The claim that Jesus conquered death, that death is no more. But that doesn't exactly reflect the reality in which I live. Death is a part of my life. My younger brother was killed by a drunk driver 2 years ago. Death is part of our reality. We claim that Jesus conquered evil, that evil is no more. And I don't know about you, but I don't feel like that's all that true right now. All you have to do is turn the news on to see that evil is alive and well. Bombings and war and refugees being turned away, children being denied educations. Evil is also part of our world. Now, at this moment, you're probably thinking to yourself, this is the worst, most depressing Easter sermon I've ever heard. I promise you, it will get better. It might be a little longer than Amy Witzke might like, but we're going to get there. Trust me. I don't see a timer out yet, so I'm right. So the question we ask ourselves is, why does it matter? Why is it such good news that he is risen? I have a friend whose name is Ellen, and Ellen has a daughter, Catherine. And Catherine was born way too early. Catherine was born at 25 weeks gestation. And it wasn't so clear that Catherine was going to make it. But Ellen is a strong advocate for her daughter, and she had good doctors and nurses. And Catherine is a fighter, and she lived. But she lived with a lot of disadvantages. Catherine is blind. Catherine cannot speak or eat. Catherine really has no voluntary movement of her body at all. But Catherine lives an amazing life. She has traveled around the world with her family. This last year, she took a few steps on her own. And Catherine goes to school every day. And just recently, Catherine started a new school. And her teacher called my friend Ellen. And she said, "I've been looking at the goals that you have for Catherine. And I noticed that one of the goals you have for her is that she learn how to swallow. And I wanted to check in with you and see if this is something you'd like us to work on." And my friend Ellen sort of braced herself for what she expected to be a very difficult conversation with this teacher. Because in all of Catherine's 11 years, every teacher she's had has shamed Ellen for having this goal for her. They have said things to her like, "You don't really expect Catherine to eat, do you?" And so Ellen thought very carefully about how to answer the teacher. And she finally said, "Well, yes, I would like for her maybe someday to be able to eat maybe just one meal a day. And I know that sounds crazy, but if we never try, she never will. And Catherine's teacher replied, "Okay, now that I know where we're headed, I know what to work on. Now that I know where we're headed, I know what to work on." You see, Catherine's mom, my friend Ellen, knows that you can't get anywhere if you don't have a vision for going there. You can't reach a goal if you don't set the goal, if you don't set that expectation for yourself and for the ones you love. And Catherine's teacher knows that you can't get to a goal if you don't get on the road to the goal. You have to be on the right road to get there. Just like you can't get to San Francisco driving on Highway 237. You have to be on the road. Will Catherine ever be able to swallow or eat a whole meal? Maybe, maybe not. But she'll never be able to if she's not on that road. And as I thought about this question about Easter this week, I wondered if maybe that isn't what's relevant about Jesus' life and death and resurrection. Maybe Jesus' life and death and resurrection are about getting us on the right road towards God. In our Old Testament lesson today, we hear God make a promise to the people of Israel. God promises that he will make the earth new again, a new creation. God promises that there will be no more weeping, but there will be rejoicing. We know that God promised Abraham that God would reconcile the world to him through Abraham's descendants. The whole narrative arc of Scripture is a story of God bringing humanity back into relationship with God. And we believe that Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise, that Jesus came to bring the world into wholeness, into harmony, into relationship with God again in a right way. But it doesn't happen exactly the way we'd like it to. Because we'd really like for Jesus to have come to earth and snapped his fingers, and just like Mary Poppins, everything went right back where it was supposed to. That harmony was created, and we were all whole again. But it doesn't work that way. God is constrained by the free will that God gave to us. God can only bring us back into right relationship with us working in partnership with God. And Jesus' life and death and resurrection put us on that road. Jesus came to give us the vision and the goal and the expectation to move ourselves back to wholeness. Jesus said, "The greatest commandment is this: love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is like it: love your neighbor as yourself." And when Jesus finished washing the disciples' feet, he said to them, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Love one another." Jesus showed us that God's love is actionable, that God's love is aggressive, that God's love is transformative. Jesus showed us that God's love looks like washing your friend's feet. Jesus showed us that loving one another looks like healing the sick and caring for the poor and feeding the hungry. Jesus showed us that loving one another means spending time with the outcasts and the sinners and the refugees and the immigrants and the people who are not like us. And in the very end, Jesus showed us that sometimes loving one another looks like dying for each other. Jesus showed us the vision, the road to be on, that loving one another is the ultimate way to wholeness and healing and right relationship with God. And you know, I think we're kind of doing okay. Things are better than they were 2,000 years ago. We've kind of figured out that you probably shouldn't, you know, hold other people in slavery. We got some places to work on that, but we're all right. We figured out that women are not property. I think that's pretty good. We figured out that children should all have the opportunity to be educated. We understand that everyone should have food and medical care and a safe place to live. We have a long way to go on some of that stuff. But we're on the road. We're on the road. In a few minutes, Canon Linda will invite us to renew our baptismal vows. She will ask us if we will seek and serve Christ in every person, loving our neighbor as ourself. She will ask us if we will strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. It is not an accident that we do this on Easter. Easter is an opportunity for us to remember that we are working in partnership with God to bring healing and wholeness to the world. This is our opportunity to remember that everything we do, every time we love someone in that actionable, aggressive, transformative way, that we change the world. So what can we say about Easter? Why is it good news that he has risen? It is about love. It is about God's actionable and aggressive and transformative love for us. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son, that he who would believe in him might not die but have eternal life. And it is about the actionable, aggressive, transformative love that we have for one another that will change the world. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.